If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We've got kind of a weird message today. It's kind of weird. I'm really excited about it. I mean, that's the title of the message, Traditions, Nostalgia, and Mother's Day. And as I was working on it, I really felt like, man, this feels like the Lord. When, you know, sometimes when you're working on things and you just, man, I just really sense the Lord's anointing on it, his inspiration. And so as I was working, I felt it pretty strong. I thought, okay, we're going for this thing. And I think what the message is going to do, it's going to break off some things and open up other things. It's going to break off some things and open up other things. And so we're going to look at traditions. Mother's Day traditions. Okay, does anybody do a funny Mother's Day tradition? Okay, typical Mother's Day traditions are what? You know, you get them a card, get your mom a card, you take them to lunch, you don't be a grouch, you know, or something like that. That's right, okay? What are funny Mother's Day traditions? Anybody have a funny one? No funny ones, just a bunch of boring people here, okay? In Serbia, this is funny. They do Mother's Day around Christmas, and they have like Father's Day, Mother's Day, and Children's Day. On Mother's Day, they tie mother up, is what they do. They're just simply showing what she feels like the other 364 days a year, you know, just all tied up. With Stephanie's family, it's funny. Now, they may be watching Facebook Live. Hey, Earl and Ann, if y'all are watching this. But this is what Earl would do on Mother's Day. My father-in-law, he'd stand up, you know, at Luby's or wherever they would go eat. And he'd say, all right, kids, should we keep mom around for another year? Always wondered what would happen if they said, nah, not this year. Not going to do it. You know, we really need to look at our traditions. And I'm not talking about the Mother's Day traditions and going and seeing grandparents or parents on some special holiday. I'm not talking about those. Those are great things. Whatever. I'm talking about the traditions. There's cultural traditions, and then sometimes they're family traditions. We don't even know. In fact, I'm going to hit some of those things in just a minute. And all these traditions do, they keep us from really knowing God in a more personal way. Let me get to the big idea of the message this morning. It's on the screen. Would you read it with me? Man-made traditions and living in the past greatly limit our experience of God's advancing work. They really do. And I really think this, that the biggest traditionalists today are not senior adults. Biggest traditionalists today are young people. We'll get to that in a minute. So we come to Mark chapter 7. All right, so Mark chapter 7. Jesus meets up with these Pharisees, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to kind of explain it as we go through it. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law arrived in Jerusalem to see Jesus, and they noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual. Say ritual. Ritual of hand washing before eating. Now, Mark does a great thing here. He explains to the Gentile readers what this was all about. He says, okay, this is what it's about. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient traditions. Say ancient traditions. Okay, this was not something found in the Bible, which is stuff they came up with. They said, this is how you're supposed to do life, okay? If you want to do life, if you want to have to be clean before God, then you have to make sure that your hands are clean when you eat your food. Because if your hands aren't clean and you touch that food, then you're going to defile that food. You're going to be defiled and you're not going to be right in God's eyes. I mean, how complicated can you get? Now, look, hygiene's good. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hygiene's good. And God's all about hygiene. In fact, there's some passages in the Bible that talk about hygiene. It's kind of funny. Talks about what happens if you touch a dead body, you know. Here's what you're supposed to do. Talks about what happens when you touch an oozing sore. Ooh, doesn't that sound good? It gives you chill bumps, doesn't it? Anyway, it talks about here's what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to handle these things. And there are other things about hygiene. This wasn't a hygiene thing. This was a thing. You do this in order to be made right with God so that your food is clean and you're not defiled and God likes you more and all that good stuff. So he goes on and he says, Similarly, verse 4, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of the many traditions that they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Again, it's not about hygiene. This was about being right in God's eyes. So the Pharisees and teachers of the religious laws asked him, and this is how they said it like this, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition?" See, they eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. That's how they said it, just like that. Here we go. And Jesus replied, "You hypocrites!" Man, I love that, don't you? Just say that with me. "You hypocrites!" Turn to somebody and say, "You hypocrite!" Here we go. That's good. Yeah. Get it out of your system right now. All right. Good. That's what a lot of you are thinking anyway. Here we go. Verse 6. "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, 'These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts, they're far from me. Their worship is a farce.'" I like that word. "For they teach man-made ideas as God, as though they're God's commands. For you ignore," now he goes on, he says, "look, you ignore God's law. You substitute your own tradition. You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own traditions. For instance," and he gives them this one. This again was a tradition that they did. It wasn't something found in the Bible. Tradition called Korban or Korban, however you want to say it. Where I guess wherever you're from in Texas. So I'll say Korban, okay? So Korban, this was a tradition they did. And he says, okay, here's how you sidestep God's word. "For instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and mother." All right, that's a great one. And the second one, "Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of their father and mother must be put to death." You teenage kids better be glad you're still alive, okay? All right, you better be glad you didn't live back in these days, you know? People talk about the good old days. You know what they did back in the good old days? They stoned their kids right here. Okay. All right. All right. Getting off top. No, I'm staying on subject. Here we go. Verse 11. "But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents," and this is the tradition they came up, sorry, mom and dad, I can't help you, "for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you." This was not the tithe. Jesus addressed the tithe in other places. He says, you do right to tithe. It's okay. You're supposed to tithe. That's good. But then you've added this one on top of it. And the money, you said, and they would dedicate a certain amount to God. They would say, I'm giving this to the temple. I'm giving it to God. And their parents would come, but I'm hungry. I need food. I need rent. What can you? Nope, can't do it. I've dedicated this to God. He says, but you say it's all right. You say, I can't help, for I vowed to give this money to God. Verse 12, in this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so this is what you do with all your traditions. You cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own traditions. And this is only one example among many, many others. Calls them hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Y'all, some of you know this if you've done any study of the Greek language. It means play actor. You're a play actor. You pretend that you've got it all together, but you don't. And back then, during drama, they would have a mask. Y'all know, probably knew this. They'd have a mask they would put on, and this mask is what they would carry around and do in their dramas, but it wasn't a real person, right? And we know that. The real person's behind the mask. He says, same way with you guys. You pretend you've got all these laws, all these traditions. They're not making you any closer to God. They're keeping you from. In fact, this is what the traditions are doing. They're keeping you from God. They decided this is the way life was to be done. Do these things and God likes you a whole lot. If you don't, it's just bad. And the thing about a tradition is this, though, is that I can always judge you based on whether or not you're keeping the tradition. Right? It was easy. It was easy. Oh, they're not washing their hands. Look at them. This is awful. Can you? Hey, honestly, that's what they would do. They must be far from God. Whatever. We wash our hands. We know God. And so they were using these things as kind of to judge each other. And they put their traditions above their Bible, and the traditions were keeping them from God. So, traditions. Many wonderful traditions that we have as a culture. We have wonderful traditions as a culture that we like to celebrate. And typically, we talk about traditions as things like events, but I'm talking about things that are a little bit different than events. Here's what traditions are. They're cultural customs and beliefs that are expected to be accepted. Cultural customs and beliefs that are expected to be accepted. So they're more than just an event or a day. There's something else. For instance, some of you were raised in a period when women were not supposed to wear their pants to church. Or let me rephrase that. Okay, let me rephrase that. Yeah, you need to wear your pants to church. Okay, let me just get that straight. You were not supposed to wear pants. Okay, right? You don't come to church wearing pants. If you wear pants, you're some wild woman. Some women's libber. And so back in the 60s and 70s, the pantsuit was born right there. Da, 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 da. Man, I want to tell you something. If you come to my church wearing that, I ain't going to let you in, okay? I'm just telling you. You're not coming to my church. At my previous church, I'm telling the truth, the lady had that pantsuit right there. Golly, isn't that ugly? That is so ugly. But honestly, back in the day, you weren't supposed to do that. If you did that, there was something wrong. That was just a tradition, right? Just a silly tradition. But people would pull up some kind of verse in the Old Testament. So you see, you're not supposed to do that. Hey, let me tell you another one. Get a little bit more touchy. What about interracial marriage? That was a big one. Back in the 50s and 60s and stuff like that, that was a big one. You know, blacks and whites, they don't mix. You just don't mix with anybody. In fact, read the sign, race mixing is communism. It's against the Bible. They'd have their signs and big protests and all that kind of stuff. It used to be a big deal. Just traditions. Civil rights movement, you know, whites are superior to blacks. That was just our tradition right then, yeah? It's our culture saying this is the way it's supposed to be. Women's liberation movement. That happened back, you know, back in the 70s and such. Men are superior to women, you know, and all that kind of nonsense. It was just junk. It was just junk that was said. All this tradition that was just passed down from one generation to the next generation. And so today, guess what? We got our new traditions. And it goes like this. Marriage is just whatever you want to make of it. Marriage can be this way, can be that way, can be however you design it. You decide. That's our new tradition. Our another new tradition is this. You are born a certain sex, but you can choose your gender. That's another tradition that's coming down to our culture. This is the way things are now. It's the way it's supposed to be. All spirituality is all equal. It's all good. Just as long as you're spiritual, that's good. Again, we hear these traditions that come at us, they come at us full force, and we're told these are things you're to accept. And Jesus says about all traditions, all man-made traditions are contrary to his word. He says, look, they sidestep. He goes on to say they substitute, they ignore, they cancel. When we say that our traditions are equal to the word of God or should be embraced, in reality, many of our traditions just keep us further from God. Jesus says these traditions, that you're a hypocrite. They're hypocritical. They're contrary. We think that we're opening up the door wider. All we're doing is broadening the road to hell. That's all we're doing. They're not leading to liberty. They're leading you to bondage. Let me just say this. Those are like the cultural traditions. But you know what? We got a lot of great old family traditions we need to deal with too. Just share some with you. This comes from Pete Scazzaro's book, The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, about some of the traditions that we hold on today. These are unspoken family traditions, like, for instance, with conflict. Here's what our tradition is as a family. We avoid conflict at all cost. We don't want to get people mad at us. That's a good old family tradition, right? What about this one? The other side of it is, we're loud, we're angry, we're constantly fighting because that's just the way you do life. That's just normal. That's just normal. Good old family tradition there. What about this one? with grief and loss. We say that sadness is a weakness, and you shouldn't be depressed. And if you haven't gotten over your mom's death, and she's been gone 6 months or a year, what is wrong with you? You know that old tradition? Or how about the tradition that says, don't trust people because they'll let you down. They're out to get your money. They're out to take advantage of you. Or tradition that says, don't marry a person of another race or another culture. Or certain cultures are better than other cultures. Or the success, that you have to go to the best school. You have to get a diploma. You have to get a degree if you want to be successful. Is getting married and having, that success is defined by getting married and having lots of money and having children. On and on. We all got them traditions, don't we? And let me tell you something. Some of those are great traditions. None of these are great traditions I just read, okay? All those traditions do is keep you from really encountering the love of God the way he wants you to encounter it. So when I talk about traditions, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, not just what are the big cultural traditions, but what are the big old family traditions that are inside of me that I don't even know are there. It's just how I've done life. Amen? Yes. You're getting quiet on me. That means you're either tired or you're convicted. Okay. Or hungry. Okay. All right. This is a good one right here. Nostalgia. Y'all read with me this definition that's on the screen. A wistful desire to return in thought or in fact to a former time in one's life, to one's home or homeland, or to one's family and friends, a sentimental yearning as of a former place. And God says this about your stinking nostalgia. Right there. Read it with me. Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. Some of us, we talk like that. Just talk about the good old days. There's no problem to talk about reminiscing and remembering. Oh, that's good. I mean, the Bible tells us to do that. The Bible tells us to remember. Remember what God did. Go back to your past and thank God for the past. Be grateful. Learn the lessons from the past. I mean, it's because of the cross, the resurrection, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we are where we are today. It's because of the past. And we give God praise for that. Amen? It's good. So there's no problem with that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. It is wrong. It is wrong to long for the past. It is wrong to long for the past and to desire to return to the past. Oh, I just wish this were just, you know, I wish I could just go back. I wish I could just go back in time. I just wish I could change a few things. I just wish we could be back. See, people have this idea. I wish we could just go back to the 50s. I just wish we'd go. Well, I just think those good old racial divide days, those were wonderful times, weren't they? I just love that stuff. That old King James Version Bible preaching. Oh, yes, brother, give that to me. Oh, no. Those old stale hymns, I'm just like, I don't want to go back to the past. I mean, who wants to go back there? Those polyester suits, I'm not doing that again. No way. The Bible never tells us to long for the past or to look back at it. To long for the past or desire to return to the past. In fact, Jesus said it this way. Read it with me. Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, that has a little broader application than just looking to the past. But man, just looking in the past, holding on to the past, thinking, I just wish I could go back there. I wish I could do this. Listen, he says, you're not fit if that's how you're trying to live life. If you keep looking at the past, you will miss the current move of God in your life and the world around you. If you keep looking at the past, listen, you'll always be that negative person. People will come to you and they'll say, man, look, you see what's happening now? You see how God's moving in the world? Do you see these things that are happening? You'll be like, yeah, but. You'll be the guy with the asterisk, okay? Everything's never quite good enough. It's never quite as good as it had been in the past. Listen, the reason it's called the past is because God's past it, okay? He's gone past it. You've got to get past it as well. Learn from it, grow from it, but don't stay there. Some want to go back. And some of you, here's what some of you want to do. I want to go back and kind of stay there or try to bring it forward. Others of you want to go back and change some things, to repair some things. I wish I could change this. I wish I could go back and change a few things. It would make a difference in my life. But the word of the Lord to you today is this, is that God makes all things new. Amen? He makes all things new. That's the junk you went through. He's making new right now. He's always in Romans 8:28 mode. Okay? He's always in Romans 8:28 mode. And what's that? Is that he's always causing everything to work together for good. For the believer, the best is yet to come. Amen? For the believer, the best is yet to come. Say it with me. The best is yet to come. Turn to somebody and tell them that right now, okay? Point your finger, put it right in their face. The best is yet to come. Amen. It is. The best is yet to come in this life and in the next life. You say, man, I got a hard road ahead of me. It's, you know, this is going wrong and that's going wrong. I'm telling you, it's still going to get better. It's His will. It's His will that you have life and life more abundantly. The best. And man, if you die today, guess what? The best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. We've always, listen, we got to walk around with that. Remember Jesus' word to John the Baptist. Poor John the Baptist was having a really, really bad day. And it would have been a bad day for anybody. He's about to have his head cut off. So he's in prison. He's going to die. It's awful. It stinks. Life is bad. And he sends word to Jesus through one of his disciples. And he asks Jesus this question. Are you the Messiah? Are you? And John the Baptist, who had said earlier, he's the Messiah. He said, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Believe in him. I must decrease. He must increase. Believe in him. You'll have eternal life. If you don't believe in him, you're going to hell. That's John the Baptist. Months earlier, now he's saying, are you it? Are you it? I'm not sure. He was having a bad day. His life was bad. He'd hit the wall. And that's what I would tell you today about some of you who are focusing on the world and how bad it is and how terrible things are. Let me just tell you, the best is yet to come. God is doing a new thing. Listen to me, church. Church, listen to me. More people are being saved today than have ever been saved in human history. There are more churches being planted today than have ever been planted in human history. There's more missionaries being sent today around the world than any other time in human history. There are more healings happening. There are more training that's happening, more discipleship that is going on. There's more money that's being spent. The gospel is advancing today. In 10 years, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached or at least available to everybody on this planet. Woo! That ought to pump you up. The best is yet to come. Amen? It is. It's the best. And some of us, we just get so down in the dumps about, oh, it's just awful. It's there. Listen, believers ought to be the most positive, the most joyful, the most contented people on the planet because we see the big picture. God is on the move. He's changing things. We don't need to be griping. We don't need to be complaining. We don't need to be wishing for the good old days. I want to tell you something. Those weren't such good old days, okay? We got selective memory, right? Selective memory. I guarantee you, like if the way that children were born, the way, because you ask any mom that's had more than one child, she's got selective memory, right? Otherwise, she wouldn't have more than one child, right? In fact, if every family, if the man had the baby first and the woman had the second child, there would be no family with more than two kids. That's it. That's it, period. We got selective memory. We all know that. And so when it comes to the past, we pick and choose. I just want to remind you, though, God ain't back there anymore, okay? You go back there, you go alone. He's not there. He's here. He's moving ahead. And we praise him for what he's doing now. We praise him that he's moving now. We press ahead because that's where he's going. Amen. And here's what Paul says. Philippians chapter 3, I press on. Say that with me. I press on. All right. To possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, and you guys focus on this with me. Let's read it together. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. Amen. Can I hear an amen to that? I don't look back long, but I look around and I rejoice because God is among us. He's working today. Let's stand together. Give him praise. Give him praise. Amen. Lord, we bless you. Bless you. Here's the deal. Here's what your past is doing right there. Right there. It's a tether. You know what a tether is? It's rope that keeps the balloon from going. And when you hold on to your old traditions, the old family stuff's been passed on to you, you can get to a certain height, but you ain't going any further until you deal with that stuff. Same thing with nostalgia. You keep holding on to the past, it'll take you up to a distance, but you will not be able to flow freely to where God wants you to flow. So, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, you would untether us. You would show us in your powerful way the traditions of our own heart that we're holding on to that are keeping us from experiencing the full pleasure, the full joy, full love that is available to us. Just the old mindsets, the old way of looking at life, the old things that we've just assumed are the way we should do life. And break those things off. We want to press ahead to finish the race. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reveal those things to people. Let's just take, I don't know, about 30 seconds and just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any stuff that you're holding on to. That's the Lord saying, you know what, in order to go forward, like that saying says, in order to, sometimes we have to go back to go forward, have to go back and deal with some stuff. We ask all of these to be done in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's read it again on the screen. Man-made traditions and living in the past. Woo! Do they not? They certainly do. God's going to break some things off. If you need prayer, I'd ask any of our prayer folks that are available, they'll be down front to pray with you. Now, mothers, I want to speak this blessing over you today. Just receive it. It's for you and you alone, okay? Y'all open up your heads, all right? Let me speak this to you. Moms, may God bless you this day for all the good that you have done, for all the kindness that you have shown, for all the sacrifices that you have made, for all the patience you've displayed, and all the grace you have given. Today, may you experience the pleasure of the Father, the rest of Jesus, and the joy of the Holy Spirit, always knowing this, moms, that the best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, before you dismiss, first-time guests, I'm going to be in the back. We want to give you a card. Also, next Sunday, we ask everybody that can to be in an adult Bible fellowship or youth Bible fellowship as we roll out a little bit more of this, what it means to move from friendly to family, from friendly to family. We're going to talk with you more about that next week. God bless you.